Gunter sharing some poems. So I hope you enjoy it, and we'll hopefully be back live next week. Have a good week. Happy listening. Happy reading.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, Youth Radio on WJXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Quinn. I'm from Haines Falls. I'm 10 years old.
And I'm Emily. I'm from Hudson, and I'm the Youth Programs Coordinator here at WJXC. Quinn and I are here every Monday from 3:30 to 4 p.m. talking about books, books we love, books we're currently reading.
All the good stuff.
But today, we're not talking about books.
No.
Today, we're talking about
poetry!
Poems! Yay! We love poems.
Poems are awesome.
And we have a great book with us today.
And you can read poems.
You can read poems. You can write poems, too.
Yeah, but it's not as fun as reading.
Yeah, I prefer reading them. But yeah. I bet some poets prefer writing them. Yeah. But today we have this book, Poem in Your Pocket, for our young poets. 100 poems to rip out and read. And Quinn had the fabulous idea of opening to a random page and just reading whatever she finds.
Okay.
So you have to excuse her if she stumbles at all over the words, because this is a dry reading.
So, okay. I open up to a random page. And this is Storm Ending by Jean Toomer. Thunder blossoms gorgeously above our heads. Great, hollow, bell-like flowers. Rumbling in the wind. Stretching clappers to strike our ears. Full-leapt flowers, bitten by the sun. Bleeding rain, dripping rain like golden honey. And the sweet earth flying from the thunder. Whoa.
What just happened? That was the end of a storm.
Okay, now.
Sounds lovely. You want me to do it?
Emily is going to do the next one.
Oh, what page do I open to? Oh, this one is called The Hot Stove by Hal Sirowitz. Mother was like a juggler. She could cook five things at the same time, and if she made a mistake, one dish was overcooked. She wouldn't be deterred. She would just balance it out. Serve something a little raw. Mm-hmm. That's fun. Do you want to read one more?
Okay.
Random page read.
One more random page read.
What's it gonna be? She opened to a chapter. There's a picture. What does it say?
It says, "There's rain in me."
That's not a poem.
No, that's just a title.
So let's see what.
I would do another one that says, "They love paper clips."
Which I've read that poem.
Yeah.
We can read that one later.
Yeah. Ready?
Okay. New page. Gotta get a poem.
Yeah.
She had one, but it went away.
Woo!
Okay.
Okay, I got one.
What's this one?
It's called Birth by Louise Erdrich.
It's Erdrich.
Oh.
Close.
Close it up. When they were wild, when they were not yet human, they could have been anything. I was on the ready side with milk to lure them, and their father, too, each a net in his hand.
I think you skipped some words.
Yeah.
That's the problem with the
each name in it in sans.
So it's when they were wild, when they were not yet human, when they could have been anything. I was on the other side, ready, with milk to lure them. And their father, too. Each name a net in his hands. Very nice.
So.
All right, so we just heard a few poems from this book. Poem in Your Pocket for Young Poets.
Yep.
And we read them at random.
Yep.
Did not practice.
Yep.
Which is okay.
Yep.
So we're going to take a quick musical break, play some songs for you, and then we'll be back with some poems that we have practiced. And maybe you'll see a difference.
I hope you do. I certainly hope you do.
And I hope you enjoy these songs. So we'll be back in a little bit.
Goodbye.
Cyborg, android, D-boy, decoy, water, wisdom, tightrope, vision, insight, stronghold, hardness, ice cold, mystery, mastery,
solar, some will pull the gun because they want to be stars, snatching up your life into the blink of an eye, and if you see your clone on the street walking by, keep it running for your life because only one will survive, wars in the streets and it's an eye for an eye, run on for your life or you can dash, you can die, she's praying on the sand like she's the last samurai, it's a stick up, and a pick up, tell them lies and put your face on fire, run and take your friends and never dream, never win. Killing kids and the kids on the army. Rising and awakening, yes, I hear come the signs. Marching to the ruin with the kick of the drum. The wisest in the end, they got the bombs and the guns. So you might as well keep dancing if you're not gonna run. Tick-tock, then the bodies drop. I'm gonna lay myself so far right down right in your chops. Modern-day example of a wolf first flock. Freedom necessary and it's by any means. Frozen, they were stolen, all the kings and the queens. Sudanese and Congolese who put the roll in the rock. From here to Sudan, my travel is to Iraq. It's a minute to the dawn and yet the sun ain't back. It's a war on all the streets and yes, the streets will dance to die.
My glares burn through her. And I'm sure that such actions aren't foreign to her because the essence of her beauty is, well, the essence of beauty. And in the presence of this higher being, the weakness of my masculinity kicks in, causing me to personify my wannabe big baller shot caller, God's gift to the female species, with shiny suit rapping like, "Hey yo, what's cracking, shorty? How you living? What's your sign? What's your size? I dig your style, yo." Now this girl was no fool, and she gives me a dirty look with a quickness like, "Boy, you must be stupid." So I'm looking at myself like, "Boy, you must be stupid." But looking upon her, I am kind of digging her style. So I try again, but instead of addressing her properly, I blurt out one of my fake playlistic lines like, "Girl, you must be a traffic ticket, 'cause you got fine written all over you." Now, she's trying to leave, and I'm trying to keep her here. And so at a final attempt, I blurt out, "Girl, what is your ethnic makeup?" See, at this point, her glare is scorching through me. And somehow she manages to make her brown eyes resemble some kind of brown fire or something. But there's no snap or head movement, no palm to face, click of tongue, middle finger, roll of eyes, or girl power chant. She just glares at me with these burning eyes, and her gaze grabs me by the throat. And she says, "Ethnic makeup? First of all, makeup's just an anglicized, colonized, commodified utility that my sisters have been programmed to consume, forcing them to cover up their natural state in order to emulate what another sister looks like in her natural state, because people keep telling her that the other sister's natural state is more beautiful than the first sister's natural state. At the same time, the other sister isn't even in her natural state because she's trying to resemble yet another sister. So in actuality, the natural state that the first sister was trying to resemble wasn't even natural in the first place." Now I'm thinking, damn, this girl is kicking knowledge. But meanwhile, she keeps spitting on it like, "Fine, I'll tell you about my ethnic makeup. I wear foundation, but not that powdery stuff. I wear the foundation laid by my indigenous people. It's that foundation that makes it so that past being globalized, I can still vocalize with confidence that I know where my roots are. I wear this foundation not upon my face, but within my soul, and I take this from my ancestors, because I'll be damned if I ever let a European or American corporation tell me what my foundation should look like. And now I wear lipstick, but my lips stick to the ears of men so they can experience and surround sound my screams of agony with each lash of rulers, measuring tape, and scales, as if my waistline and weight are inversely proportional to my value as a human being. See, my lips, they stick, but not together. Rather, they flail open with flames to burn down this culture that once kept them shut. Now I'll mess with eyeshadow, but my eyes shadow over this timeline where you've gone at ends to keep me blind, but you can't cover my eyes, look into them. My eyes foreshadow change. My eyes foreshadow light. And I'm not into hair dyeing, but I'm here dying because this oppression just won't get out of my hair. They form these highlights of my past atrocities. This oppression, it manifests as stressing me so that even though I don't color my hair in a couple of years, it'll look like I dyed it gray. So what's my ethnic makeup? I don't have any, because your oppression and your ethnicity isn't something you can just make up. And as far as that stuff that my sisters put on their faces, that's not makeup. It's make-believe. I can't seem to look up at her. And I'm sure that such actions aren't foreign to her because the expression on her face shows that she knows that my mind is in a trance. As her footsteps fade, my ego is left in crutches. And rejection never sounded so good.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bound by Books, Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7, Accra, Catskill, and Houghton. Listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
And we are reading poems today from a book called Poem in Your Pocket for Young Poets. So these are Poem in Your Pocket. There's a day called Poem in Your Pocket Day, and people are encouraged to bring a poem or several poems around with them in their pocket and share them with others. And so this book was designed for young poets in particular, so for kids, to have where they can find a poem that they like and they can tear it out of the book. It's got perforated sheets, so it's easy to tear out. And so we went through and tore out some poems we liked, and we're going to read some of them.
Yep.
Do you want to start with one?
Sure. I'm going to do A Very Valentine by Gertrude Stein. Very fine is my valentine, very fine and very vine. Very mine is my valentine, very mine and very fine. Very fine is my valentine and mine, very fine and very mine, and mine is my valentine.
It's true. I've witnessed that. I'm
really?
Just kidding. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. But I thought that one was funny because I wrote poems when I was little, I don't do it anymore. And I had a poem that was about Valentine's Day, and it was very repetitive. It was not as repetitive as that, but it reminded me of some of the poems I read when I was little, where I just really like to rhyme stuff. All right, I'm going to read a poem that is kind of silly, I think. It's called The Grandpa Knee, and it's by Russell Edson, and it goes like this. An old man, who was old enough to be his own grandfather, said to himself, "Grandpa, may I sit on your knee?" And replied, "Sit on your own knee. You're old enough to be your own grandpa." "But grandpa, it's the grandchild who sits on the grandpa's knee." "Grandchild? Why, you're old enough to be your own grandpa." But grandpa, nothing. There's no sense to it. One grandpa sitting on another grandpa, it's redundant." "But grandpa, if you don't stop grandpaing me, I'll put you across my knee and give you a good spanking." It's a very confusing poem.
I like it.
He wants to sit on his own knee.
Oh, wow.
Do you have another one?
Maggie and Millie and Molly and May. Maggie and Millie and Molly and May went down to the beach to play one day. And Maggie discovered a shell that sang so sweetly she couldn't remember her troubles. And Millie befriended a stranded star whose rays five languid fingers were. And Molly was traced by a horrible thing, which raced sideways while blowing bubbles, and May came home with a smooth round stone, as small as a world and as large as a loan. For wherever we lose, like you or me, it's always ourselves we find in the sea.
And that one's by
E.E. Cummings.
I went to a cool cemetery once where he was buried, and there were art exhibits all over the cemetery. So my friend and I went to look at the art exhibits, and there was an E.E. Cummings installation that had one of his poems kind of on these little signs, like mini signs, that were going down a hill. I like good cemeteries. All right, so let me read another one. I'm going to read To PJ. So this one's called To PJ, 2 years old, who said, "Write a poem for me in Portland, Oregon." And this is by Sonia Sanchez. "If I could ever write a poem as beautiful as you, little two-year-old brother, I would laugh, jump, leap, up and touch the stars, 'cause you be the poem I try for each time I pick up a pen and paper. You and Marani and Mungu be our blue-black stars that will shine on our lives and make us finally be. If I could ever write a poem as beautiful as you, little two-year-old brother, poetry would go out of business." Sure would. PJ sounds cool.
Yeah. This is a poem called I'm Nobody, Who Are You? By Emily Dickinson. I'm nobody, who are you? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us, don't tell. They'll banish us, you know. How dreary to be somebody, how public, like a frog. To tell your name the livelong day to an admiring bog.
I want to be public like a frog. Also because I like bogs. Have you ever been to a bog?
Been to a bog.
When I was growing up in New Hampshire, in my town there was a bog that was a place where you could go visit, and there were trails, and there was a boardwalk throughout the bog, so you could kind of walk through the bog.
Cool.
You couldn't walk on the bog because that would kill it.
Yeah.
And all the plants. But you'd walk on this boardwalk. And in the spring, when all the snow had melted and it was like rainy, it would be really, really wet, and there'd be parts of the boardwalk that were submerged. So you'd either have to have boots on or you'd get your feet wet. And the last time I went there, I didn't have boots, and there were some parts that were submerged, so I had to take my shoes off and walk across the boards with my bare feet. And there was stuff in it because it, you know, it wasn't just water. It had bog stuff in it, too. So it was all goopy and gross. But it was fun. It was worth it to go into the bog. Because then there were other parts that weren't submerged. It was just little flooded sections. But it was fun because there's pitcher plants. Carnivorous plants that catch bugs. And then there's lots of moss, and there are parts where you could jump and you could see it kind of like ripple the bog. It's fun. So I want to be a public like a frog in a bog, and I want the bog to admire me.
You admire the bog.
All right. So now we're going to read two poems. I'll read this one first. Mm-hmm. These both have plums in them.
Woo! I love plums.
I love plums too. And I'm really glad that it's almost plum season. Plums. I love fresh fruit.
Fresh fruit, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to start off with a poem called To a Poor Old Woman. And this is by William Carlos Williams.
This. So is this one?
Oh, Oh, wow. Two plum poems. Two plum poems by William Carlos Williams. Munching a plum on the street, a paper bag of them in her hand. They taste good to her. They taste good to her. They taste good to her. You can see it by the way she gives herself to the one half, sucked out in her hand, comforted, a solace of ripe plums seeming to fill the air. They taste good to her.
This poem is called This Is Just to Say by William Carlos Williams.
Plum lover.
I've eaten the plums that were in the icebox, and which you are probably saving for breakfast. Forgive me. They were delicious. So sweet. And so cold.
Yay! Plums! Woo! All right, so we have another poem we're going to read, and we're going to both try reading it.
You're going to win.
We figured out this poem we found a few months ago, and we really liked it, and we decided it was fun to try to read it in one breath. It often takes two breaths, at least, so no judging if you hear a little breath on this side. And it's called They Loved Paperclips, and it's by Lisa Jarno. Okay, I take a deep breath. They loved harmony, they loved anthills, they loved food and cookies and harpoons, they loved the sound of the laces of the shoes and snow, they loved the snow on Thursdays in the rain, and when they met, they loved that too, and igloos and the trees and things to mail and chlorine, and they loved the towels for the beach and hot dogs in the pool, and also when the wind rose up, they loved the ceiling and the tide, and then they loved the sky.
Mm-hmm. I think I might bring breath in there.
I took one at the last word, but in my defense, I took a deep breath, and then I waited a little too long.
They loved harmony, they loved anthills, they loved food and cookies and harpoons, they loved the sound of laces and shoes, and they loved the snow, and they loved the snow on Thursdays and the rain when they met, they loved that too, and when the igloos and the trees and things to mail and chlorine, they loved towels from the beach and hot dogs and pool, and also when the wind rose up, the ceiling, the tide, and then they loved the sky. I took three breaths.
Woo!
Three breaths.
That's a lot of words. They love some stuff. I like that it's called They Loved Paperclips, but in the poem itself, it doesn't say paperclips. So maybe they love things that aren't on this list. Maybe this is just a starter list. Because if they love paperclips, but then they don't mention it in there, what else are they not mentioning that they love?
Maybe they love you.
Do you know what else this reminds me of?
What?
Bert. From Sesame Street. Because he had a paperclip collection. And it's called They Loved Paperclips. He also loved pigeons.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. Pigeons and paperclips.
Well, it says they. Mm-hmm. So who else has a paperclip collection?
I don't know. Bert. Mm. Somebody else must. Do you collect anything?
I have a collection of quarters. State quarters.
Ah.
Oh yeah, I also collect state parks. State park quarters.
When I was little, I collected stamps and stickers. But separately. But I don't do that anymore. We also had a fossil collection, which was fun.
Woo!
So we're going to take another break and listen to some music. And then...
And then?
Maybe we'll come back and say goodbye or something. If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, we'll come back.
If not, we'll miss you.
Wah, goodbye. Wah.
We're crybabies. See ya.
real lake. It was a lake of the imagination. I see a space above me, framed by overhanging trees. If I complete a visual picture, it'll tell me what I need to know. His hair rumpled and stiff with day-old pomade. Upper lake, lower lake, winter lake, hunting lake. Lake in good weather, lake in a storm. Lake via a sense other than sight. The ring off my finger. You'll do anything, he said. The boat plunged over a waterfall and came to rest in dry sand. Old moralities emerge when betrayal is involved. The forelake, after lake, drifting, paddling excursion lake. Lake in good weather, lake in a storm, lake via a sense other than sight. I open the closet door and take down a metal box. Count three neat piles of $1,000 each, then stare into the ring. Its value is zero. It's an expensive nothing. Black lake, blue lake, empty lake, swamp lake, lake for better or for worse, lake via a sense other than sight.
That was Old Morality from the 2023 album Reflect and Oppose from Sky Furrows, which is Columbia County-based poet Karen Schomer and Albany musicians Eric Hardiman, Mike Griffin, and Phil Donnelly, who also play in the